Friends in Christ and family of Bethlehem, I love Jesus, but I can't stand his church. I've heard these words, or even variations of them, for years and years out of people that have attended churches. People like you and I try to hide behind maybe a fear of being a Pharisee, and they say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Those people are worshiping God with their lips, and their hearts are far from him. Maybe you've heard this. The church is filled with hypocrites, anyways. They say, love your neighbor, give to the poor. They supposedly believe in forgiveness, but all I can see are unforgiving, greedy, and unloving people who like to dress up like they're really something that they aren't. Often that's what people see and hear when they attend a church for the first time. The judgment has been made. The world has told you why people aren't here today in this room with you today. So let's be honest for a minute. You can each think of a time when the church has left a bitter taste in your mouth. Maybe there was a voters meeting that doesn't go as you believed it should. Maybe there was a situation in a church involving somebody else's sin that it wasn't handled properly. Or maybe there was the church's stance on a social issue or on a theological issue that was enough to make you grit your teeth and walk away. How can they be so close-minded, so black and white? Don't they know that those things are socially unacceptable to say? You wonder why people don't want to come to a church like this. Things like this, as C.S. Lewis imagined, even as he wrote, these aren't just words of people. The nuns that claim no religion today, these are the whispers of Satan himself, the voice of our enemy. He knows that with our own eyes, we often fail to see the eternal church of God, the invisible collection of people that truly believe in him, the elect from every nation, against which the gates of hell stand no chance. Because we easily get distracted by our own ideals. We've made somehow the Christian religion into a consumer commodity. And we all have a vision in our head that becomes our expectation for reality. That's not to say that a church free from sin and hypocrisy isn't God's will, and certainly not to say that it's not our will either, but his will is not always done in the manner or time frame that we might prefer. So if we look around, if we happen to see the flaws in other people, maybe even the preacher himself, by whatever metric we happen to pride ourselves in so doing, we join in the same destructive thinking. Christ tells us that the church will have the Antichrist come from even within its own walls. Think about it. Have you ever considered that the devil doesn't mind that you're here? He minds when you open the Bible, and he minds when he hears prayers uttered from your lips. But I don't think the devil minds that you're here today. That's the craftiness of our enemy. He loves to parade as an angel in white. Since he has no authority to create like God, he's only left with the ability to corrupt the good gifts which we already have. And so he takes that person in our church that for unknown reasons you just can't stand. Or he takes that feature of the church's physical building that's ripe to become a stumbling block. Oh, maybe it's a leaky roof. Maybe it's the heat not working and you're just shivering. Maybe it's a finicky sound system that maybe cuts in and out. Maybe it's a not-so-well-lit sanctuary. It's a little too dark for my eyes. He takes the part of the service, that song that you're just incapable of singing. I don't know the words. And he convinces you that somehow the church, the Christian church as a whole is broken. And maybe you yourself. And there's something about this place that's maybe less than God-pleasing. So the devil whispers in our ears. And our quest has now begun because there is out there, perhaps, a church even that will meet our every need. And we will have a stumbling block-free parking lot, stumbling block-free narthex, gathering place, and sanctuary. And like a young romantic eager to find true love, Satan encourages you to go and find it if you don't find it already. Find the church that's perfect for you. Find the congregation who value all the same things you do. Find the pastor who's engaging and speaks on your precise educational level. Find the church that's close even to home, that's close to even your favorite Sunday lunch restaurant. But this search will prove to be a mirage, chasing after in the desert of a worship of convenience or preference or even taste. So the devil doesn't care if you're here today. He can use good, godly Christians even to be twisted from God's truth. All of this, at its very core, is the poisoned notion that Christianity itself, it's not enough for us. There has to be a cause associated. Whether it's a particular mission or a personality or a mindset, whether it's a location or a group of people or even just a feeling, there has to be something other than what Christ just did. There's got to be more. The same old thing that Screwtape, the demon fictionally in this book, refers to as the monotony of pure teaching. We've all heard hundreds and hundreds of times the truths of our Christian faith. Jesus was born on Christmas. Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead. So on and so forth. Let's come and go. Whoop-de-doo. It's all old news. The devil wants us looking for something more sophisticated, more flashy, more contemporary. Well, has any of this crossed your mind today? Before you're told, have you understood that this is a tactic of Satan working on your ears? Of course. Does it surprise you that this is, in C.S. Lewis's opinion, a trick of the devil, perhaps? Because at the end of the day, the truth is to remember that the church, it's not our creation. It's Christ's. Jesus has called the church, the body of Christ, into being by the power of his Holy Spirit. And she exists as what we call the bride of Christ. He calls the gathering of Christians his beloved, first and foremost, as an eternal gathering of believers in all times and all places. So let's not make the bride of Christ into a prostitute. We do not see reality always with our eyes, but we walk by faith in the Word of God. The fathers of the church, pastors who have come and have gone, they have found thinking of the church in a feminine sense, calling her the bride of Christ. So for each of you as dear Christian women and men and children, the early pastors of the church would suggest that the church is nothing less than even our mother. Think of your own mother and how we can depict the church as such. The church has given us life. She continues to nurture and sustain us by the words of healing, forgiveness, the gracious gifts always given and won by Christ. At times, this mother of ours seems old-fashioned. She'll say things that aren't fashionable at the dinner table. She'll do things that you really wish she wouldn't. She'll tell you things that you don't want to hear, but I'm here to tell you that they're for our own good. And the church alone has the promise of Christ, and therein the forgiveness of sins. The church alone has the assurance that sinners like you and me, those who are labeled as hypocrites, those who do the labeling, yes, can be forgiven. And the devil would wish only to distract us from that fact, to create dissonance, miscommunication between you and God. even by using good things like the church. Not necessarily to drag you out of the church, but to challenge your faith in ways that distract. See, the devil has no problem with you being in church or in a number of churches, but he does not want you to hear a consistent message straight from the Word of God. He doesn't want you to be subject to the Word. The Word of God tells us that we need each other. This week, this second week of March, happens to be the 2-year anniversary that we shut things down. 2 years ago, we weren't meeting here for quite a while. That's not to say the church didn't still go on. If we couldn't meet indoors with 10 or less people, we met outside and had communion together. We met one-on-one, even outside between screens. The church continued, even when the world shut down. Bethlehem continued. And I came across this message that was posted by our church 2 years ago. And I want to share it with you from an early church father. You might not be able to read it, but I'll read it for us today. This is from Cyprian of Carthage from 258 AD, a long, long time ago, in the midst of what we called the Black Plague, the bubonic plague. And he said this about the church. Horrible and deadly plagues reveal the truth of each person. They examine the lives of each person to see whether the healthy will tend to the sick, whether families will love their kindred, whether bosses will pity their suffering workers, whether doctors will not forsake the needy patients, whether the strong will suppress their violence, whether the greedy will allow the fear of death to quench their desires, whether the arrogant will bend their necks in humility. It's been 2 years. Have you seen this happen? If you haven't, it's not too late to start. He continued, whether the certain will be soften their boldness. Over the course of 2 years, we've been told things that were science, there were facts, and sometimes science and facts change. And that's okay, but are we willing to bend? Whether the rich will finally share what they have, or will we hoard like all the toilet paper we had? All this benefits Christians, so we may begin to joyfully desire even martyrdom and learn not to fear death. These plagues are trainings for us, not something to fear. They teach our minds to patiently endure in faith. They teach us to prepare for death, so we may receive the crown of life. So friends in Christ, it's been a time we can safely say we've gone in and out of this dark time of our life, relatively still together. And that is just how Christ wants it to be, together. And so our defense against our enemy, Satan, is to flee to the places where Christ has promised to be, right here. His word proclaimed in light of the cross and his empty tomb. His gifts here at this altar, his own words, which you hear, the promise of baptism, daily washing that sin from in within your heart. A forgiveness for wandering thoughts, for wavering faithfulness. A gift for us as hypocrites, for second and third chances for you and for me. These gifts alone can extinguish every single fiery arrow that the Father of lies wished to sling his way to yours. You see, the church, as imperfect as she may appear, yes, is our mother. She has clothed each of us with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covers all of our sins. She has sustained you and kept you safe through not just times and trials, but all our life. And through the Christian church, Christ continues to have you back. So today, be reminded that there are whispers that go on in our ears. The devil doesn't know what goes on in Christian minds. He can't read your thoughts, but he can perch on Christian shoulders and whisper into Christian ears and distract us from this promise that Christ is with you. Christ is before you. Christ is behind you. Christ is at your side. Christ is in your heart. Nobody can take that away. The government can't take that away. The devil can't take that away. So look in faith, friends. Look in faith this very day upon all of us here gathered, gloriously gathered as God's fellow forgiven and redeemed. We are surrounded now, yes, even beyond these walls, surrounded by a greater cloud of God's witnesses that have gathered not just in Wales, but in other states and other countries and across the world, and yes, even in Russia and Ukraine today. This side of eternity, our physical eyes will not behold this truly sinless community, but it serves here today to be here together as one reminder of how we need Christ and how he always will be here. So may God keep us always hungering, thirsting for that nourishment which only Jesus can give and which he has created the church to provide. So my prayer for you today is to, with us all, be the church. Don't just come to church, but be the church. At home, with your families, in your schools, in your jobs, week to week. Yes, even on Sunday morning and into Monday morning. Be the church by being an example of love, forgiveness, and be together as Christ is with you now. And together, let us silence not only screw tape, but silence Satan himself. For Jesus, the Word of God, has subdued him. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.